This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Mind with Armand DeMille.
Everybody, this is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial, giving you ideas, concepts, guests, to help you lead a more positively minded life. Exciting week this week because I've been doing research on people and their new relationships. New relationships, I really think that's fine, but I've noticed something. Notice that people have new relationships, newer than just going out with folks, you know? Better than a relationship with another human. A relationship with your machines, yes. Yes, you have relationships with your machines. No longer do you have to walk down the street and just walk. Now it's walk and talk. You know, with all that time that you used to spend wasting looking at your flowers, now you have a cell phone and you could be on the phone. Wasting that time looking at other people standing by and catching their gaze, window shopping, relaxing. No, it's all gone. Now you can call your office or your mate. You could check on your friend. You could see where your boyfriend is. You could call even your own message unit and talk to yourself. I know people who leave themselves messages as they're walking down the street. Just a reminder. I'll call myself. I was in France many years ago. And I was in France and I noticed that everybody was talking on a phone. Passing by, you know, the Boulevard Saint-Germain. They were kind of all, everybody was on a phone. I said, boy, this has got to be at French telecommunications. And I learned that since the landlines in France, Italy, and a few other places, India, the landlines were so bad, you know, the things that required wire is so bad. Everybody gave up on landlines and they just picked up a cell phone. And that's happening here in America. Well, the very same thing in France, Mexico now, parts of Italy and Japan are blocking cell phones. They're putting up cell phone jammers, another machine we have a relationship with. The cell phone jammer. You remember the wind jammers? This is a cell phone jammer now. In London, during the recent chaos, and right here on the subways, they put up cell blockers so you couldn't have your cell phone. And then they took them down because people said, what about an emergency? This program today is about you and your relationship to your machines. I am not going to sit in judgment because everybody who has a cell phone loves their cell phone. And some of us may look at those who have cell phones and say, I don't want you to have that cell phone. We don't want you to have it in a movie. We don't want you to have it in, you know, at the cemetery. We don't want you to have the cell phone in different places. But people love their cell phones. But I want to talk to you about your relationship with machines, and I want to understand it a little better. I want to understand it from the point of view of evolutionary psychology. There are 100 million people worldwide running around using cell phones. They talk into the air. Now, when I was younger, and I think this may have been only 10 years ago, I used to walk along, and being a student of psychology, I would look and see if somebody were talking out loud. I'd say, that person is what I called ABM, which means all but medication. You know, that person is kind of gone, and they're talking to imaginary people in the air. Then there was a little crossover. Here I was trained in psychiatry, and I saw these people who were talking in the air, but they were talking on phones. Now, I don't know if people are just talking on phones or just talking loud. In fact, what I think has happened is the people who used to talk out loud on the phones, people used to talk out loud without a phone, stopped talking. The air got too crowded. Everybody's talking on the phones. You know what I mean? Everybody's talking. And you watch their lips move, and they walk down the street, and they have this little thing wrapped around their ear or hidden somewhere in their lapel. They're not even holding a phone anymore. They're just talking, walking down the street. So I want to explore that. Where did that come from? In a shopping mall, at an airport. You don't even notice if the other person in earshot is listening to your conversation. I love to listen to people talking on cell phones. I kind of see somebody talking in the air. I want to know what they're saying. And they talk without covering anything. You know, they're just talking out loud. So one would imagine that this comes from us and our paleo ancestry in some way, you know, that somehow when we left the safety of the forest to go out into the savannah, we had a band together for defense against a slew of nasty predators. So we were hardwired for communication, signals to each other, right, hand signals, voice. Hey, Joe, watch out, here comes a lion. I'll bet nobody back then on the savannah was named Joe. Oh, sure there were. There had to be a Joe. It was an easy word to say. Watch out. Watch out. And these were the words. Watch out. Be careful. You know? Caution. The sound of a bird to another bird. It's a wireless communication. So these communications were so essential that we were just regular. We were ready for cell phones to come along. When I was a kid, we had a machine. It was a Morse code machine. And I remember I had a Morse code machine, and my friend Harvey, who lived two stories above me in an apartment house. Two stories meant two floors above me. He had a Morse code machine. So I would Morse code Harvey, you know, did it, and Harvey would Morse code me back. But every time I sent him a message, I'd yell out the window, "Did you get that, Harvey? What did I say?" And he'd yell back, "You said," and then he'd did me back and forth. And we kept yelling out the window back and forth. We're our little Morse code machines. All right, but we're going to talk about you and your cell phone. Do you love your cell phone? Do you love it? Do you have a deep relationship with your cell phone? There's another interpretation of the evolutionary psychology of cell phones, according to which the cell phone users are seeking not fellowship, but isolation from the hordes of fellow humans around them. The idea here is you want to separate from everybody, and so you get on a cell phone with somebody else. And you become separate because nobody bothers you when you're on a cell phone. Nobody's going to come over and talk to you. We have ancestors. I mean, part of our ancestry is a kind of orangutan that was isolated. They like to be alone. They like to be separate. So maybe there's in us a way of separating us from the masses. So you walk through a supermarket and nobody's going to come over and talk to you. You talk on a cell phone. You know, same thing with iPods, headphones, walking down the street. Maybe it's a don't bother me thing. It used to be a status thing. It used to be the person with the cell phone. Oof. They are important. They got deep pockets. You know what I mean? And they have somebody who will talk to them. Unlike me, who has nobody who will talk to me, is the way a lot of people felt. So here's the kind of bottom of it. We are either social animals who are suited to traveling in convivial bands. You know, we want to be able to talk to other folks, and we want to be able to communicate with our brothers and sisters and give warning and caution and say hello. But there are things that happen as a result of this, and that's what we're going to explore today. So this week, I am going to focus the entire week on your relationship to machines. Tomorrow, Roberta Atti, who we did not think would be here, is flying back to be with us to talk about radio and television, our relationship to radio. Do you think you have a relationship to radio itself? Tomorrow we're going to look at that. I mean, what does the radio mean to you? What about television? Okay, listen. Your relationship to machines. We're going to look at cell phones. We're going to look at computers. We may look at cars, you know, but not many New York people are car people. But we may look at your relationship to cars. I may have to go on for more than 1 week. TV, radio, your relationship to calculators. Now, here's a very good story. Early on, I remember a young man who came to me, and he had a little calculator. And it must have been, 15 years ago, and I said to him, all right, how much is 4 times 8, I said. And he said, it was 31. And I said, no, it's 32. And he said, no, it's 31. I said, no, it's 32. He said, no, it's 31. Look at my computer. It says it right here on his calculator. Because it said 31 on his calculator, it meant it was right. He didn't have any ability in his mind to multiply 8 times 4. See, he never even thought it anymore. It was now, this is the way it is. If the calculator says it, that's the way it is. You kind of get lazy that way. You let your mind lapse. So I thought about that. How about your relationship to your iPod? Big thing happening. How about this among younger folks, your relationship to Game Boys? Boy, if you don't understand an adolescent or younger relationship to Game Boys, you're out of the loop. Game Boy be a big thing. How about your relationship to your credit cards? It's a machine. It really is a machine. Remember, we used to have to kind of think about every penny we sent. Write a check. Remember, write a check. You'd have to write a check, and you'd have to, if you spent something, you'd have to dig in your pocket and make change. Credit cards, cash machines, another very important thing. What a lovely thing. You go to somebody, you put your card in, and they give you cash. I mean, it's like having an eternal mother. You know, hey, Mom, can I have a buck? No more. You plug your little piece of plastic in, and out comes cash. And there are other machines. You know, I mean, everything from cameras to vibrators is something that we use in life to make us do things and feel better. And so we're going to talk about it. Cell phones are going to be a focus right now, and we'll talk to you about it. The eternal umbilicus. You see, one of the giant steps of maturity, growing up, getting bigger, is dealing with insecurity and difficulty. Let's use a car for an example. Okay, you get in the car, you take a drive. Now you have this global map finder thing. It tells you where you are at any time and how to get wherever you want to go. So you no longer think about how to go there. You just follow the directions of this voice that says, turn right in 22 feet. And it'll actually tell you. And it'll tell you things, and it's so you no longer figure out. So you're driving now, and you drive with a mind that no longer has to figure that out. So you could use your phone, your mind, for more important things, like calling on your cell phone. Your mind just gets lazy. See, it relaxes. Now, maybe that's a good thing in a world where there's so much to do, but maybe there's a consequence that we should consider. And it doesn't mean you should do anything different. Why would you exercise your brain to figure something out when it's automatically figured out for you? Why would you do that? So cell phones erase a lot of security, insecurity. And this is what we're finding with children. We're finding that the children and their ability to have access to a cell phone is in some way changing the way they develop. Imagine this, 3 times a day on the phone with your mother. You have a cell phone, 3 times a day you or your mom call each other, that's the average. Kids who have cell phones, 3 times a day are talking to their parents. Now, what was it like, or what is it like if you don't have a cell phone? What's your life like if you don't talk to your mom 3 times a day? You have to make a lot more decisions for yourself. You have to see things. One person talked about on a cell phone, he heard somebody talking to her mother, and she said, and mom, went to a place where they gave you this ice cream with sprinkles on the top and sprinkles on the bottom. This is the kind of information they were sharing. So what happens to you when you have this umbilicus? Well, in many ways, it's great. Great, for example, for the elderly. You know, for people who are physically vulnerable. Just in case they needed help, many more people are now willing to go out of their homes because if they fall down, they got their cell phone. They have a way of communicating. They have a way of getting out there. You know, Herb D. Cordova sent something around called ICE, I-C-E, which is about you have it somewhere put on your cell phone so in case there's an emergency, there's an automatic kind of communication people could make. So if you need help and you're somebody who's fragile, you get out into the world more. And now you get out into the world more, you stretch more muscles. You see, you stretch more muscles, you get more sunlight. So it's really a good thing for some folks. Your child, you know, now has cell phones. They have cell phones for little children, too. And remember the child used to be at risk? Or you think of your child as at risk. Is the world crazier nowadays? Is that it? Is that why we have to keep cell phones on our children to keep track of them? I remember a company called Parent Watch. Parent Watch had this idea. Their idea was they were going to put cameras in every, what's those places where you keep children? Day centers, daycare centers. And they'd have cameras. And you, as a parent who would subscribe to Parent Watch, could pull up a photograph, not a photograph, but a movie, a video, of your child at the daycare center anytime, day or night. This was the idea. Now you could watch your child play, and you could watch if one of the people who were attending them was doing anything wrong. The idea didn't get off the ground because the people who were attending the children hated the fact that they were being watched all the time. So they wouldn't go for it, you know. But this idea now, look, think about children. Is the world crazier? You remember... Remember when you were little, or do you think there are more pedophiles out there? I mean, what happened to the concept of running away? What happened to the idea of if something happens, you run away? You know? I think children's legs must be getting lazy or something because they don't think about running away. They think about calling a cell phone, right? Kidnapping, you know, are there more kidnappers out there? It's funny, you know, you think about the word kidnapping, it means nap a kid. Nap is to steal, but we always think of it as kids, but nowadays it's used to relate to adults. An adult is kidnapped as well as a child is kidnapped. But, you know, are there more kidnappers? So I looked at the crime statistics, and it seems to be there is an increase in crimes against children, but not in proportion to the increase in the population. So there is as much of an increase in the population as there is crimes against children. So it doesn't mean we have to be more careful with children, but we are being more careful with children because people don't want to take risks. So what happens to you if you're not taking risks with your children and you're protecting them all the time? How are they supposed to grow up thinking about the world as a place of potential risk and growing past the risk? Let's think about your cell phone with your girlf or your boyf. Now, this comes from an email that came to me that in both cases had the word from boyfriend chopped off at the end and the word from girlfriend was chopped off. So it came out boyf and girlf. Sounded terrific. So think about your husband, your boyf, maybe it should be your husband. Your husband, your wife, your boyf, your girlf, right? If you both have cell phones, are you cellmates? Well, in a way you are because you're attached to each other and you're locked into this place. Let's say you've got a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is possessive and jealous. And they're scared about you. And they can't trust or they're feeling insecure that day for some reason, they put on their clothes and they felt fat or they felt something. And they're feeling insecure. So they call you on the phone and they say things like, how come you didn't answer the phone right away? Where are you? Your cell phone becomes an item of reporting, you know, and then you make up excuses. I was in a meeting. What if you just don't feel like talking to your mate at the moment? Do you think anybody picks up the phone and says, I didn't feel like talking to you? You can't say that. They'll yell at you. So is it a good thing or a bad thing? Now, think about uncertainty and the uncertainty principle. By the way, we're going to take your calls about this because people are very involved with cell phones. And please, I know everybody wants to jump on and say, get rid of those cell phones. But they're not going to get rid of them. So how do we learn to live with them? What does uncertainty do for a relationship? Is it a good thing? Is it okay that you're not secure about your mate? So that you think about the fact that, you know, I don't know where she is right now, but she's probably out there talking to some guys who may be better looking than me or they have some things. So I think I'm going to take her out to dinner tonight and treat her extra nice just so that she remembers what a wonderful guy I am. That, or I'll get her a cell phone and I'll just keep checking on her. Doubt makes you exercise. Doubt makes you practice. It makes you develop yourself. Doubt, suspicion, it's okay. It's part of developing your muscle. Take it all away. Be sure of a person. You know, eventually I think there should be baby phones. You know, baby phones like when you're watching your baby. What are they called? Baby monitors, right. You get a baby monitor for your mate. And so you could see where they are at any moment and who they're looking at and who they're touching and who's getting near them. And that you could just tune in at any moment. I see now some people are finding that appealing right away. Imagine your mate, somebody caring enough about you to watch every move you make. Some people like that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We are talking about uncertainty. Imagine, I mean, cell phones, they could go all over the world at the moment. Anything, you know, I mean, I wonder, can you imagine it's eventually possible that somebody could call their son in war? You know, let me see how it would go. Hold on a second. Hello, son. How are you? How are things going over there, you know? Everything okay? I can't hear you too well. Talk up a little bit, would you? I mean, that could eventually happen. We could be having people in the trenches talking to their parents. I was reading articles about the soldiers in Iraq having more machine luxuries. Did you read this? Than anybody here in America. They have access to all the toys. They get toys from the previous soldiers who are there. They get big screen TVs. They have music galore. They are actually writing music. They have these enormous machine luxuries. And they are living in these kind of big trucks with all these machines all around them, vans, you know, and they're having this incredible experience of their relationship to their machines, which includes their gun, another machine, which you're encouraged to be related to. There's a whole group of people in this world who have a very close relationship to their weapons. So we can't knock them. We're going to take your calls in a little bit. Imagine the scenario, and here's another one. You go to a party, and at this party, you're at a party and you lose somebody. This is happening. I promise this is happening. Because I've seen it happen around a swimming pool. Right? You don't know what happened to your mate. So this guy was worried. Hey, where did she go? I said, I don't know. So he picked up his phone and he called her. And she was 4 benches away. And she spoke to him. She says, I'm right here. He said, where are you? And she said, I'm right here. And she started walking towards him. And the two of them were talking on the phone within 6 feet of each other. And they were having an intimate conversation that they could have this way. He, I was a little worried about you. You were just disappearing. She said, well, I was just over here having this. And I'm in the middle of this, and I was watching this, and I was saying, well, the people must do this everywhere. You go to a crowded restaurant, why not just call up the person who's sitting opposite you if he gets too loud? And the two of you could talk to each other over a phone. You think that's crazy, friends? It might happen. Okay, without a cell phone, you need to make plans ahead of time. It's not so easy. Planning ahead of time is critically important for the human brain. The ability to plan recedes in the, is where it sits, in the prefrontal cortex. That's where it presides. That's where it is. So they have found depression is related to the inability to plan in people. If you know people who are depressed, many of them have a loss in their ability to make plans and follow through plans. The ability to plan is in the prefrontal cortex, the executive branch of the brain. This is a critical part of the self-regulating system. So for you to regulate yourself, you need your prefrontal cortex really working well. Making plans, planning things out, structuring them out helps you do that. Because depression is being seen as caused by an unregulated thought pattern, lack of this kind of intellectual rigor that comes when you make plans. But you see, cell phones help you escape plans. You don't have to make as many plans because things are right there, right at every moment. You can find things immediately. Frustration makes your mind grow. Frustration is good for us. To be frustrated makes you, you know, it's like frustrated sexually is a good thing because it gives you that much more passion when you get together with your partner. Frustrated in being with your partner at all is a good thing because when you get together with them, you appreciate them so much more. The frustration of not being able to get answers right away is good for your mind. Because it helps you to deal with and to learn tolerance. Tolerance, if you don't have it, if you become short-sighted, you know, if you just become irritable and you can't stand a person who is not responding right away, right? You develop an intolerance. Intolerance is not what makes us grow together. It's not what makes us love. So this is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. When we get back, we're going to take your calls, and we're going to talk about you and your instruments, you and your machines. Should be very, very interesting conversations. And tomorrow we're going to talk about you and your relationship to radio. Roberta Atti will be back. I'll be back with you in a little bit.
You're tuned to Hi-Fi, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
I love Al Lewis live, Saturdays at noon. Oh, yeah.
I'm Karen Lewis. I love my co-producer, Grandpa Al Lewis, together with
engineer Eliza Butler and you, the listeners.
We talk about politics, community, and social justice, things you can get passionate about. Al Lewis live.
Saturdays, noon to 1:30 p.m.
Get passionate about something. Oh, yeah.
Hi. I'm Bjorn from ABBA, and this is
I want to know, I want to know. Vorrei sapere, vorrei sapere. Come fa la gente a concepire di poter vivere nelle case d'oggi, scatolati come le acciughe, nascono i bimbi che han già le rughe. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. Perché la gente non dice niente ai Mr. Hyde, ai Dr. Jekyll, i costruttori di questi orrori che senza un volto fanno le case dove la carie germoglia già. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know.
Adriano Celentano, I want to know. It is 1:30 here at WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's A Positive Mind. We are talking about your relationship to machines, instruments, things. You should see me surrounded here in the studio, microphones and storyboards and my Yamaha, Denon, Tascan, and all these other machines everywhere I look. Everything, my clock, there are headphones, you know, it's everywhere I look. It's totally dependent on them to get to you. I have to go through an ISDN line. I mean, it's amazing. We couldn't be doing this if not for these wonderful machines, on one hand. On the other hand, we've developed a hothouse for children. We are now taking children, and we are kind of growing them up. They're raised in a psychological hothouse where there's no, they are over-monitored, over-sheltered. If you go to a playground, they have the kind of clay where you can't hurt yourself. You bounce on it, you know, so you don't ever have to worry about being careful. You know, everything kind of makes it easier and easier and easier. And the question becomes, are we making just a little too much easy for children? Are we taking away their resiliency? Are we taking away our own resiliency? Or are we growing a different resiliency? For example, text messaging. I saw somebody with his two thumbs text out a message, right? Text out a message. He sent a message that was a long typing message. He got something on his cell phone, BlackBerry, to another person in split second. He just loved text messaging. You may not think it develops your brain. Well, it doesn't develop your brain, but it sure does develop your thumbs. We are going to have people with overgrown thumbs in the next society. Because, you know, cell phones, if you try to press those little tiny buttons, they're really small. By comparison, now they're making the buttons fit right. And we're going to have overdeveloped thumbs in our next generation. The bigger your thumb, the more capable you're going to be. And people are going to look at this, you know, like you're going to talk to each other. Your mother will say to her daughter, well, yeah, but how's his thumbs? You know, he's got good thumbs. You have good thumbs. Your father has good thumbs. I want you to pick a husband who's got good thumbs so that your babies will have even better thumbs. All right, I'm thumb-founded. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're taking your calls. Hey, 212-209-2900. What's your feeling about this? I mean, outside of the obvious judgment, I wish people would. I mean, if you ever tried driving a car in Manhattan and you see people in their narcissistic world, and I say this like self-involved on a telephone, walking across the street with an eye barely out for the traffic. It's like I've seen people with babies on cell phones with a baby trailing behind them, you know, in traffic. And you're like kind of walking through traffic. And the person's really just saying, I will keep the minimal eye available for danger. And it's upsetting to drivers, but I think drivers are getting more careful because they're noticing that people are somnambulists, you know, sleepwalking across the streets. Let's take your call, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand, how you doing this afternoon?
Hello.
This is Rob calling from New Jersey, the student of massage therapy. I called you a few months ago.
Yes, I remember, Rob. Hi.
I have an analogy for you in regard to the cell phone, and then I want to briefly tell you about the reason why I have one. My thought on the cell phone is I just had this split second thought just when I called you. While you were talking before you went to your break, I put the number in my cell phone on speed dial. right? And then I waited for you to say call. As soon as you said that, I pressed my button and I was able to get in. I juxtaposed that to the sperm trying to get to the egg.
Oh, interesting. All right.
You have all of these sperm that are trying to get to this one egg, and then like you and Roberta Atti were talking about, I think it was last week, a week before last, the egg accepts what sperm she wants, what sperm it wants. So basically what I'm saying is when I called, the signal, the receiver accepted mine over everybody else that called.
So let's get this straight. I'm the egg and you're the sperm?
Exactly.
All right. I didn't know I had that kind of a relationship. With you,
exactly, exactly.
I take it. I get it. You know, I see.
Okay, okay.
I'm now, a scientist.
Now, the reason why my thought on cell phones is this. Since I've had a cell phone when I first graduated from college in 2000, I've had about five different companies. I hate cell phones. I hate them. I hate them with a passion. One of the reasons why, because they cause brain cancer and all that other stuff. The main reason why I have my cell phone right now is because of I'm married. If it wasn't for my wife, my cell phone would be in the middle of the street right now waiting, begging for a bulldozer to roll over it infinite number of times.
Don't you see, you hate it. Now let me ask you something. How do you like your wife having such ability to get to you? Don't you wish at times she couldn't get you?
Yes, and you know what? Actually, there was a period of time when we didn't have our cell phones for about a good, it was maybe like 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I loved it. She hated it. And it was just a beautiful thing to actually walk out of the house, Armand, and to say to myself, oh, I forgot my cell phone. No, I didn't, because guess what? I don't have one. I'm walking down the street or I'm driving, and you know what? I was free.
It's an amazing thing. I know it's kind of hard to believe. So let me ask you, what kind of a conversation would it be for you to tell your wife that you're going to have a cell phone free day? Do you think that she'd get upset with it and think you're going to cheat on her?
No, because she calls me a weirdo, and she calls me that, and I tell her that's a compliment. She calls me a weirdo because over time since we've known each other, I've become conscious of my surroundings, and I've grown spiritually. So I'm in tune. So I'm on.
So
this,
you can tell her anything you want, and she just knows it's part of you being a weirdo.
Yeah, we have a pretty open line of communication. And so if I were to tell her, you know what, her name is April. Her name is April like the month. So when April like the month, when we talk on the phone, and I were to call her right now and say, baby, you know what, I don't want us to talk on the phone for the rest of the day. And these are my reasons. She would say, oh, there you go again. Okay, whatever, bye. But you know what? The beautiful part about that is that when I get home at night, we will have these beautiful conversations because guess what? We haven't talked during the day.
That's right. That's right. The conversation during the day sometimes takes a lot away from the kind of intimacy you would have at night. So it's a good idea. You know, we could have Tuesdays, like
right.
And Tuesday, you know,
everybody needs to lobby together so they can make it on the calendar. So that way, one like on secretary day or whatever,
we're gonna have one day without phones. It's a good idea. You might just do that with her. Do it with April, like in the month.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Maybe for the month of April, nobody carries phones.
Exactly.
All right. So thanks for calling in. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Sure. Bye bye. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Well, that's interesting, right? Hi there. You're on the air.
Greetings, Armand.
Greetings.
I find my cell phone to be a necessary evil because I'm a nanny. So I have to have my kids, my parents get in touch with me. But
Wait, do you mean you have to have your parents get in touch with you?
Well, no, of my children that I watch.
Well, you watch children in their homes, don't you?
Yes, but I also take them out.
And you take them out where?
To the park.
Okay, now what if you took them out to the park? Why did they have to reach you?
Because a lot of my parents, I have a few that are really overprotective.
Here's the point we're making. You see, the point here is the risk may be a good thing, and I understand they are overprotective. But, you know, maybe one of the dents you could make as a nanny is to kind of help the parents by saying, you know, there should be a time when your child is not, well, maybe you can't do that. Maybe you just get fired.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Pick another nanny.
Exactly, because that's happened before.
You've gotten fired?
Yeah.
For trying to help them grow their kids right?
Well, I wouldn't say grow their kids right, but I mean, it's like, you know what? I've been watching kids for over 20 years. I've never had any problems. Your kid's fine. If I call you, then there's a problem. If I don't call you, there's no problem. And she got very offended and said, well, I'll just have to find a new nanny then.
And
well,
that's what they
so.
Do, because they're going to have this control. Now, keep in mind, very often, I mean, we're growing up kids now that are going to be connected to their parents this way. And we'll deal with it. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen, to have been watched your whole life. Now, I don't know anybody yet who is able to talk, who has been so regulated. I don't know anybody who's an adult yet. Adult meaning even 15, 16 years old, who has had a cell phone on them their whole lives. But there are people, there are going to be people coming around who are going to be real different, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and another one of my parents who's so protective of her child. Once they were crossing the street, she's so busy on the phone, her kid almost gets hit by a car.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, won't you put the phone away and watch the kid?
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, and the thing that we're saying here is, I know we could easily be critical of them, but the truth of it is they're not going to do it yet. Now, even the brain cancer scan, I was reading a thing, I think it was in the New York Times, significant long-term research, and I know I'm going to get in trouble with some people, disprove the whole concept of there being brain cancer as a result of using cell phones. I think they put cell phones on mice for a long period of time, and they didn't get any brain cancer.
If I'm not watching my kids, I more often than not, I leave my cell phone at home.
Uh-huh. There's nobody you want to call you all the time?
Well, if they have to call me, then they'll leave a message on the cell phone.
I got you.
If I have to get in touch with somebody, if there's an emergency, I'll have change in my pocket to use a pay phone. But I find out that I don't pay as much attention to what's going on around me when I have the bloody phone.
Yeah, it is something, isn't it? It really is something when you walk down the street talking on the phone and you don't get a chance to do what you used to do. It's a whole different trip.
Trip over a curb or run into somebody or not even notice that beautiful sunflower right across from you.
What's your name? Yeah. What's your name?
My name is Tracy.
Tracy, nice to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's talk about your relationship to your phone. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
You talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's funny because I've been asking my husband for us to get cell phones, and he keeps saying no, and he says, oh, the brain cancer issue. And my thought is, I can't imagine who in the world I would be speaking to all day long. I see people walking with these phones, and they're talking, and I say, I don't have that much to say to anybody. And
then why do you want a cell phone?
Well, there are times when we have two children, and he takes care of the children during the day, and I may be running late, or he may be going someplace, and there may be we've had miscommunications on where we're meeting.
Sure.
You know, and I'm at one end of a park, and he's at the other end, and it'd be nice to say, where are you? Oh, okay, I can be there. As opposed to, last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, walking around the whole park to find each other.
So you're really new at this. I mean, you don't own a cell phone.
No.
That's great. You know, you're one of those people. Let me ask you something. When you walk down the street and you see everybody on cell phones, you wonder, who are they talking to?
Yeah.
You can't imagine how many, you know, and here's what happens. When you own a cell phone and you walk down the street, you want to talk to anybody. We have this thing in a cell phone called a directory. And the directory means your most frequent calls. You can even speak into a phone, get this, and say the name of somebody, and it has voice recognition. And so if you speak into the phone and you say, Armand, then it calls my phone. You don't even have to dial anything.
Mm.
Isn't that incredible? So
yeah.
You just say the name, and the person appears. But what happens is you get lonely. You walk down the street, and you don't know who to talk to because you see other people talking, so you start calling everybody. And they do. And they call you, oh, I'm just calling you to see how my stocks are doing. But I'm your grocer. Okay, and you know. Well, I wanted anything on special today over there, you know. You know, so this kind of thing takes place, and people do that because they get lonely. So somewhere we're going to find a balance in the middle. And it's nice to know. What did you say your first name was?
Oh, my name is Judy. I just want to share, a few years ago, actually it's several years ago, I was working like at different jobs. So on Monday I'd be in one location, Tuesday another location, Wednesday another location. And at that time, that was before cell phones really caught on. And people said, why don't you have a beeper? And I said, well, because you know where I am, Monday here, Tuesday there, and you know where I'll be. And if I'm not there, I'm on my way. And if I'm on my way, then leave me alone. That was my feeling. When
Judy,
I'm
are you a private person in general?
Yeah.
So this is the point. You see, now, private people very often have judgment about people who are public people. There are some people who can't stand to be alone. And there are people like you, Judy, who cherish being alone. See, you cherish your privacy. So what you're going to do is you're going to make a theory about the use. You're not going to make a theory about it. You're going to have a perception of the use of cell phones as invasive. And to other people, it's a delight. You can't imagine what it's like to put your cell phone on vibrate, have it sitting in your pocket, and suddenly to have your leg vibrate, and you say to yourself, somebody's thinking of me. You know? Any day now, junk mailers, you know, the ones who call you at home with solicitations, they're going to start doing it on the cell phones. Mm. And boy, is that going to be something. Solicitors on the cell phones means your phone's going to be going off all day, everywhere you go.
And you have to pay for those calls.
And you have to pay for the incoming calls.
That's
Maybe
crazy.
I'm giving somebody an idea. But that's, you know, it's the way the world is. Do you have a microwave?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Again, that's my husband. He says, no, they cause cancer.
Microwaves cause cancer? And do you have a television?
Yes. And DVD. Got all those things.
You got those modern things, I see. But no iPod.
No.
I fully understand. Listen, I thank you, Judy, and stick with us. I mean, you know, I need you in this world.
Thanks for the program. Take care.
Sure. 212-209-2900. That's great that there's somebody out there without a microwave or a cell phone. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi. Hi.
Hello, Armand. How are you?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to say what you were talking about when you said some people are private.
Yes.
And do not really like cell phones that much. Well, mm-hmm. I'm one of those people.
Sure.
My husband...
Sure. So therefore, let me ask you something. What's your name?
My name is Jamila.
Jamila?
Yeah.
Jamila, therefore, there's a part of you that resents people having cell phones ringing and walking down the street, don't you?
Well, I don't resent it as much as having my own cell phone and people calling me when I don't want to hear from them.
Yeah.
I have a cell phone. The type of cell phone I have is to pay, you pay as you go. And there are times, like, I haven't paid within 2 months to have any service because I've been busy doing a lot of things and I don't feel a need to really talk to people. And sometimes my friends and family ask me, why can't we reach you on your cell phone? And I say, because it's not on right now.
See, you have such power. That's great. You understand your power compared to everybody else. Everybody else in your family, you're going to reach me, you reach me. I have no way out of it. When you were a kid, did your parents call you a lot, or did your parents come into your room a lot? Were they tended to be invasive?
Well, no, my parents weren't invasive, but they, you know, my parents worked, and I would come home from school. They weren't there, and they would call and check to see if I had came home, did my homework, cleaned up the house, and did whatever my routines were supposed to.
How did you feel about those calls?
It felt very supportive of my parents. I think my problems came in with my husband, who passed. He used to keep two cell phones at all times. And he used them as a way of control. And he constantly called me, constantly. And I didn't like that.
He constantly kept track on you?
He kept track on me through the cell phone. And sometimes he would take my cell phone and look at what my, you know, calls were for the day.
Ooh.
And I think that the more obsessed he was with having the cell phone and contacting me, the more it worked for me the opposite way.
I hear.
And also, I'm a nurse, and what I find that a lot of times some of the, you know, clinics that I work for or the hospitals, they want you to have, they want to be able to contact you. And if you're on call, that's one thing. But sometimes they want your cell phone number, and to me that's very personal. And, you know, when I'm not working for you, why do you need to contact me? It's kind of like there are people who want to be in contact with you 24/7.
Let me ask you this, while being a nurse. They have this rule about you've got to shut off phones in hospitals because it's going to short-circuit the machinery and it's going to make the heart monitors go off. We know that's a lie, right?
Yes.
I mean, so the real idea of don't have cell phones when you're laying in your hospital bed, what is it for?
Well, I think the cell phones, that they do electronically interrupt a lot of medical devices, and they do. They interrupt, you know, different types of technical devices. And just like in an airplane, they want you to shut it off at certain times.
Yeah, I know they do. I'm going to do a little research on this. I have a funny feeling, because that would mean anybody with a pacemaker should probably not have a cell phone. I don't think this is true.
Well, I haven't heard that as a rule. However, you know, there may be some type of interruption in some of the electrical waves in certain instances, and I wouldn't doubt that.
Interesting. Anybody who's got any reference to that, would you send that to me on email, armand@brainlink.com? I would like to take a look at the research on this. It's interesting. It might be just one of those myths that we put out there to control people. You know, if people are sitting in a waiting room, we want them to be our captive. Like if a doctor is late, you should be happy that the patient is on the cell phone talking to somebody so they're not getting angry at you.
Oh, I think that one of my experiences as a nurse is I really get offended when I'm basically seeing patients and they're talking on the phone. And
well, how could you be seeing them while they're talking? Oh, you mean while you're attending to them?
Yes, and they're basically ignoring me and talking on the phone. You know, I mean, people do a lot of rude things now with the cell phone.
Yeah, that's kind of rude.
Right.
So that's
what bothers me more about people, not the fact that they're talking, but that I don't want to be reached at all times and that they should be cognizant about not being rude, not talking so loud. Sometimes you don't want to hear their business and their conversations.
Sometimes people make it up, you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes people are on phones with nobody, you know.
Yeah,
and
but it's rude to be so loud. If you're on a train, I've been on the Long Island Railroad, and people were just speaking very loudly about their personal business, and I don't want to hear that.
Sure, I'll buy 10,000 of those shares, and you could send them
exactly
to me and put them in my Maserati.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's nobody on the other side of the phone. Maybe these are the same people I was talking about at the beginning of the program who like to talk out loud. You know what I mean? Maybe there's nobody there.
What was that name you called them?
ABM.
ABM.
All but
I'm going to remember that.
Oh, I'm sure as a nurse you will.
Okay.
Nice to talk
to
you.
Okay, take care. Okay,
this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It looks like we're fooling around, but believe it or not, I'm setting the stage here to talk about something because really, truth is, if you took the cell phone away from many people, they would get very, very upset and anxious. There are conditions that are developing, mindsets, emotional sensitivities that are developing around people and their relationship to their machines. Can you do without it, you know, is a real question. And the truth of it is, without the cell phones now, many people would find themselves becoming nervous wrecks. There are anxieties that are being allayed by usage of the cell phone. There's a depression that looms with people who don't have access to one. So, you know, I mean, people will panic if their cell phone goes down, whatever that means, or the service. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. By the way, we're looking for... if you want my latest newsletter, I just sent it out. If you haven't gotten it, send me an email, armand@brainlink.com. We just sent one out yesterday. So if you're not on the list of people, we'll send it to you. And you can get archives of our current program as well as past programs on the website, thepositivemind.com. Be tuned in with us tomorrow, my friends, at 1 o'clock. We'll continue.
I want to know. I want to know. Vorrei sapere. Vorrei sapere. Come fa la gente a concepire di poter vivere nelle case d'oggi, in scatolati come le acciughe, nascono i bimbi che hanno già le rughe. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, perché la gente non dice niente. I want to know, I Mr. Hyde, I Dr. Jekyll.
Hi, I'm Ivy Weisskopf.
And I'm Caitlin Garcia. We are with the New York Writers Coalition.
We invite you to join us Saturday, August 20th at 4:30 p.m. for the Fort Greene Park Summer Literary Festival.
The festival features literary icons Sonia Sanchez, Amiri Baraka, along with rising stars Carl Hancock Rux and Marlon James, and us future literary lions from 8 to 18 who've been writing together this summer in the park.
Plus, music by the Brooklyn Summer Jazz Workshop with Richard Parker and Laron Land, the incredible Danny Simmons as MC, and free copies of Bomb Magazine for everyone. For more info, call the New York Writers Coalition at 718-398-2883 or visit www.nywriterscoalition.org.
Join CIMOTAP, the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People, as they pay tribute to DeLacy Davis and Black Cops Against Police Brutality. Among the speakers will be James Ntume, Camille Yarborough, Bob Law, and Viola Plummer. The keynote address will be given by Dr. Joy Degree Leary, a proponent of the post-traumatic slave syndrome.
It's not an indictment, it's an understanding of how we've never been able to heal. We can't even talk about it as though it didn't happen. 246 official years. And if you want to topple that and look a little further, it didn't end when it ended.
This all takes place at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 20th at Junior High School 8, located at 108-35 167th Street in South Jamaica, Queens. For information, call 718-322-8454. That's 718-322-8454.
And that number again is 718-322-8454. You are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio, WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. WBAI is archiving all of our programs. Go to archive.wbai.org. I do believe all of our arts programs will be archived for 14 days, and all of the public affairs programs will be archived for 90 days. Coming up at 2 p.m. will be the Tuesday Arts Magazine here at WBAI, and at 3 o'clock, Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton.
You are tuned to WBAI.
I want my freedom.
New York.
Ah!
99.5 FM.
You gotta get me my freedom!
Streaming on www.wbai.org. Freedom of Speech Radio.
Hello, Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored Peace and Justice Community Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
Hello and welcome to the Arts Magazine. This is Prairie Miller, and on the show today, Emily Price talks to Subway performer and musical storyteller Ashiba. Peggy Dominique takes a look at artwork that commemorates the African burial grounds with Dr. Cheryl.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.